Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our history unit for today, and we're talking about the history of the Michelin Guide.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've heard about it. I've never actually seen it, but I've heard news reports about it, especially if a certain restaurant is recognized by the Michelin Guide and they get some points.
No, stars. They get stars.
Oh, right. They get 1, 2, or 3 stars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So I've never actually seen the guide itself. Have you
really?
Actually seen the
guide?
Is it a book or is it online?
Tom,
or?
Let me tell you, if you live in New York City, you all have a Michelin Guide. For some reason, and I didn't grow up this way, in New York, if you live in New York City, the thing to do is just to go out at night to a restaurant. But they're so expensive and it's hard to get in. Of course, we make more money if we work in New York, generally speaking. But to go to these restaurants, I just felt like I was wasting money. But everybody owned a Michelin Guide where I was, and they would look up and see how many stars it got. And if they could get a reservation, which is kind of hard sometimes. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I'm not a foodie. If you're a foodie, you like, you know, gourmet food. And you're willing to spend a lot of money to get it. We do have some Michelin-starred restaurants here in Taiwan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get Michelin stars for the food itself. Other times you're given – part of the star is just having really wonderful service, having a good atmosphere. All that stuff's really important. The service is really important too. So anyway, no, I don't own a Michelin guide. I didn't think it was a big deal. I don't think I'm a foodie. Are you a foodie, Tom?
No, I'm really bad at food. I go to buffets all the time to eat.
Well, I like night market food, so there.
Yeah, there's some very tasty night market food out there, of course, as you all know.
It's not starred, though.
That's probably why most Waigwaren foreigners stay in Taiwan.
I love the
food. It's because of the food in the night markets. You know, if there were no food in the night markets, we would have left a long time ago.
That's not true.
Yeah. And I think maybe even some places in night markets get rated by the Michelin Guide. But usually they're restaurants, you know, brick and mortar restaurants or whatever.
I think Din Tai Fung has 1 star.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's better than nothing. But in any case here, we are talking about the Michelin Guide in today's program, the tiny book with a big impact. Let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, one time. From its fine dining establishments, where delicately steamed dumplings are served with a flourish, to small local shops offering hearty bowls of beef noodle soup, Taiwan is a great place to eat. In fact, Taipei saw 24 more of its restaurants added to the highly celebrated Michelin Guide in 2019. This is no small honor. This tiny red book is regarded by many as the final word on global fine dining. Despite its current prestige, the guide has some pretty humble roots. It was created by French brothers André and Édouard Michelin in 1900 as a way to help their tire company. They wanted to create a guide that would promote more road travel and in turn boost tire sales. With drivers in mind, they listed plenty of frequently visited spots, ranging from hotels to restaurants to gas stations. By 1920, the guide's popularity had grown so much that the brothers began hiring secret inspectors to review restaurants. The guide didn't just help travelers, however. It became a crucial tool to the Allied forces in World War II. In 1944, these countries were planning the D-Day invasion, but had encountered a massive problem. All the traffic signs in occupied France had been removed. To make sure U.S. and English troops could navigate, officials gave them the Michelin Guide, which included detailed up-to-date maps. This critical information helped the invasion become successful. Today, the guide's influence is just as powerful as its past is colorful. Its contents now include ratings for 40,000 establishments across 25 countries, and over 300 million copies have been sold worldwide. Considering its reach, it's clear why the book has been called The Only Guide That Counts.
Okay, guys, let's talk about the history behind the Michelin Guide. Yeah, that little tiny book. It's not very big, to be honest. It's not a regular size. Plus, It's not very thick either, but it's a big deal if you get to be chosen as one of the restaurants that they put in there. So from its fine dining establishments where delicately steamed dumplings are served with a flourish, to small local shops offering hearty bowls of beef noodle soup, Taiwan is a great place to eat. That is so true. Mm. I love the places that I found here in Taiwan so far. You guys have great food, I must say. It's one of my favorite things about Taiwan. That and the people are really nice. So if you're talking about an establishment, you're just talking about some sort of business. It could be here, of course, we're talking about a business that offers food, but it could be any other kind of business. So an establishment. Yeah, they've had that establishment there for 10 years. They've had that location there for 10 years. Could be an institution like a school or a hospital. Here we're talking about restaurants. Fine dining, though, really doesn't refer to fast food places or even affordable dinners. Fine dining refers to gourmet meals. You're usually spending at least, I would say, 3,000 NT, but probably 4 or 5. Especially if you drink, you know, if you drink, it costs even more because wine or alcohol is more expensive. But yeah, it's also hard to get a reservation at these fine dining establishments.
Right. So we're talking about a range of eating opportunities here in Taiwan. We've got a range starting with a place that serves dumplings. They're served with a flourish. And then the range continues to small local shops offering hearty bowls of beef noodle soup. And because of those things, Taiwan is a great place to eat. Now, flourish here, that's kind of interesting. It does have to do with food, but I'm not quite sure what that means. Is it like a sort of gesture?
It's a grand gesture. It's kind of dramatic
okay.
with the flourish.
Kind of the way it's served.
Yeah.
The way they come over and place it on your table.
Ta-da!
You've got a finely dressed waiter coming
yeah.
over and putting it on your table. I would say that the waiters and waitresses at Ding Tai Fung serve with a great flourish. They have a certain flair to the way
yeah.
they serve the food, especially to the way they refill your teacup. Sometimes
oh, really?
It's like, wow, it's really amazing. How can they pour it like that without spilling a drop? It's amazing.
Oh,
it's,
they must train them, huh?
You know, I was quite impressed by that.
Huh.
But again, this is talking about the range of options. You can get some steamed dumplings at a great establishment or just a great little shop in your neighborhood that serves nyoromian beef noodle soup.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I have a good place in my neighborhood, but it's certainly not a fine dining restaurant or a fine dining establishment. I just pick it up and then I take it home. But here we're talking about different types of restaurants or even small local shops. Those would not be fine dining establishments, but we're all familiar with the small local shops in our neighborhoods that we love and that we go to. And yeah, the food's not too expensive, but it's awfully delicious. So if someone uses that word hearty, a hearty bowl of something, or he's quite hearty, has a hearty institution, or he's got a hearty makeup, we use it in different ways. Here, hearty just means very filling, something that is very soothing when you eat it. It's like you're eating home-cooked meals. If it's a hearty meal, you don't leave the meal feeling hungry. You're very full. If you have a hearty makeup, you're just really physically fit and you don't get sick very often. You can be hearty, have a hearty makeup. Taiwan's a great place to eat because we've got a wide range, we should say, of different places where you can go and get delicious meals, whether they're very expensive fine dining places, fine dining establishments, or just local shops, or in the night market, you can find some great things to eat here.
So in fact, Taipei saw 24 more of its restaurants added to the highly celebrated Michelin Guide last year.
Cool.
In 2019.
So, I want to mention yeah. here, Tom, you can be in the Michelin Guide and not have a star.
Okay.
Okay. But you have to be a certain quality of restaurant.
It's still quite an honor, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
But in any case, it has 24 restaurants in Taipei by itself, not counting Taichung and Zhonghua and Hualien and Kaohsiung. 24 of these restaurants were added to this quite popular, quite famous guide.
That's nice.
And that happened just last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is no small honor. This tiny red book is regarded by many as the final word on global fine dining. So if you're one of those restaurants who got this recognition last year, Boy, you better hire more staff because people are going to be flooding to your restaurant to check out your food. So you better have lots of people ready to serve all those hungry patrons to your restaurant. Otherwise, you're probably going to get mad and close early because you run out of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. And I do think that the people coming to your restaurant will increase. So despite its current prestige, the guide has some pretty humble roots. Right now, the book is seen as being quite prestigious. You could also say that. It's got a good reputation. It has a lot of influence that people talk about. Or maybe its rank is quite high. So if you have some sort of prestige, you've done something to earn a great reputation. And you're seen as having a great reputation. A lot of people talk of you, you know, with favorable adjectives and attributes. I wanted to mention prestige is sometimes pronounced that way, prestige, with a J sound at the end. But most people I know say prestige. It's the same with the word garage, where you park your car. Don't say garage. That's just weird, guys. Mm. Garage. It's kind of a zh. It's kind of a French sound, actually. Prestige. Do you say prestige or prestige?
I do, but I was going to say that, you know, that's a hard consonant for Chinese people to pronounce.
With the zh.
It's not in your language. So if you can't say it, yeah, the zh is fine. You're not going to be laughed at if you do that.
It's okay.
Prestige and other words like that as well. But yeah, because if we talk about something being high class, we think of things French. So, of course, lots of people would prefer pronunciation that's close to French. You know, ooh, high prestige. That's the kind of restaurant that you want to go to. But yes, this book has high prestige, but it has some pretty humble roots.
Yep.
And we'll talk about those roots, the origin of the Michelin Guide, in just a couple of seconds. But right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, my name is Shelby. 今天来看看美食界的圣经,米其林指南。 第一题。 这本小书被许多人怎么样? 空格前是is, 后面有by, 表示呢, is加pp的被动语态, 后面as the final word, 当成最后的词汇, 第一题空格中的动词, 还要搭配as来使用, 选项j, regarded, 被视为, regard a as b, 视a为b, 在这句中写成被动, 答案是j, 另外,这句话前面的 no small honor, honor是荣耀, no加名词表示绝对不是, no small honor, 绝对不是小小的荣耀, 而是绝大的光荣。 第二题, 尽管他现在声望很高, 这指南有很怎么样的起源, current是现在的, prestige声望, despite虽然, 它是一种让步的语法, 现在很具声望, roots是根源, 暗示是以前的起源, 所以选项A, humble, 形容词普通的, 用来形容roots, 表达当初普通的起源, 所以这题答案选A, humble.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the Michelin Guide. It's a tiny red book that features a lot of very lucky fine dining and local shops who offer really good food and service as well, usually. You need both of those two things, usually, to even make the book. If you're really great, you'll be awarded a Michelin star or two or three, but it's very difficult. I don't think we have, maybe we have a couple of restaurants in Taiwan with a Michelin star. It's really hard to get. So some of these chefs work their whole lives to try to get them. Anyway, we're talking about the history behind this book and why people think it's such a cool thing to be included. It's considered very prestigious. And if you get selected to be included in this book, you should feel really proud of yourselves. It's got some humble roots, though. It didn't start out being prestigious at all. It was created by two French brothers back in 1900. And these two brothers actually were owners of a tire company. If you are familiar with tires, with automobile tires, you know that the Michelin company makes tires. In fact, there's a very famous drawing that you'll see sometimes in ads. It's a white character. He's called the Michelin Man, and he's made up of tires. He comes from this company. So they wanted to create a guide that would promote more road travel. Because think about it, back in 1900, there weren't that many cars on the road, and only very wealthy people could afford one. They wanted to encourage more people to buy cars, to get on the road and travel, and in turn, boost their tire sales, because if people are traveling, they're going to need new tires eventually. So in turn is a phrase we use to talk about something that follows another action. So by promoting road travel, that would lead to or boost tire sales. That was their hope, at least. So in turn. Can you use an example of in turn, Tom?
Well, I told my friend John that I like to eat beef noodles, so he in turn ordered a bowl of them to try it himself as a result of one thing. So basically, they wanted more people to travel on the road. So in turn, they made this book, and that would boost tire sales. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like as a result or therefore.
Or last night, I invited a friend to dinner. You know, it was like a chinka situation. I invited her to dinner, and in turn, she invited me to dinner next weekend. So, yeah, it's a result of some other action. So with drivers in mind, they listed plenty of frequently visited spots. It was kind of like, you know, a Lonely Planet guide when it first started. And these visited spots were kind of tourist attractions ranging from hotels to restaurants to gas stations. And they would just list some of the places they would recommend. So range from, we've talked about what that means. It's just a variety in a certain category. So you've got different tourist spots or frequently visited places. Hotels would be something that people would go and visit if they were traveling on the road. Restaurants, of course, because we need to eat, and gas stations to fill up their cars.
Yeah, I could go back to the beginning of the article here and use the phrase here. Range from dining choices in Taiwan range from fine dining establishments to small local shops, mm-hmm. basically. So you have lots of choices there. And they offered all sorts of information about spots to check out, hotels, restaurants, gas stations. And by 1920, the guide's popularity had grown so much that the brothers began hiring secret inspectors to review restaurants. And that's probably what you want. You don't want to tell them you're coming because they can prepare. You need to send them secretly so they can go in just like anybody else and see what the food is like or what the hotel is like, etc.
Yeah, I can recommend a movie that's on Netflix. It's called Chef. It's definitely something that you want to look into. And it's how a restaurant prepares for those anonymous Michelin judges who come in. If they're recognized, then, you know, they tend to get better service, right? So they try to make it so that the restaurants don't know when they're coming.
You probably have to treat every customer as if they were a Michelin inspector.
That's the idea. So the guide didn't just help travelers, however. It became a crucial tool to the Allied forces in World War II. The Allied forces were the countries that worked together to beat the Nazis in Germany during World War II. So crucial, some of the things that we find crucial in life are a good way to support ourselves, a good job. You need to find good friends that you can rely on. These things are crucial to your happiness in this life. Crucial, essential, vital, those are all similar words that you can substitute for each other. Now, in 1944, during World War II, these countries were planning the D-Day invasion, but had encountered a massive problem. All the traffic signs in occupied France had been removed. Now, if you're talking about an invasion of something, we often will see this word in a movie title like The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, these aliens that come and take over people's bodies and kill other people. Or if you're invading a country, you're an enemy country coming in and trying to take control of another country. And this happened during World War II. The Germans invaded France and took control of the French government and, you know, France in general.
And there were lots of Japanese invasions out here in Asia during World War II. So during that invasion of France, they had a really big problem. All the signs were gone. They were removed. This was occupied France. France was occupied or controlled by the Nazis.
By the invaders.
Indeed, and the Nazis were the invaders there. So indeed, they thought, yeah, sometime these allies are going to come over and we don't want to let them know how to get around. So let's take the signs down just in case. And that's what they did. So to make sure U.S. and English troops could navigate, officials gave them the Michelin Guide, which included detailed, up-to-date maps. So that's what they did. The officials got these Michelin guides, and they had those maps in them so they could figure out where to go. And they weren't old maps. They were up-to-date maps, the most recent version. Hopefully, that's what Google Maps is doing. It's giving us up-to-date maps every day.
This critical information helped the invasion become successful. Good for Michelin Guide. Look at this word here, critical. It's similar to crucial. Critical is even, I think, a higher level of being really, really important, critical. So today, the guide's influence is just as powerful as its past is colorful. It's got a great past. Its contents now include ratings for 40,000 establishments across 25 countries, and over 300 million copies have been sold worldwide. If I'm not mistaken, they make Michelin guides that are specific to big cities. For example, New York has its own. Chicago has its own. I'm sure LA does too. I'm just mentioning, of course, U.S. cities I'm familiar with. I know that Asia had its own guide, but it sounds like perhaps Taiwan has its own guide. But I'm not sure about that. You'll have to write in and let us know if you own a Michelin guide here for Asia. But they're doing very well. I doubt that its influence is going to decrease or be reduced in the future. I think it's just going to be more and more important as people, you know, get into going out and eating and enjoying food. We all enjoy food.
We do. We have to eat at least three times a day or two times a day if you get by with just two meals. But I was going to say that they probably have this online and you can probably access this guide with your smartphone pretty easily. And you don't need to carry that book around. I imagine that book would be really big and heavy, like a Manhattan phone book
was
in the day.
It's small.
It is small.
Yeah,
okay.
It is small.
Well, gee, how can they fit all that information in such a small book? Well, in any case, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Let's listen now to our Chinese teacher.
第三题，米其林兄弟呢，创造了一本指南，希望推广更多的公路旅行，而且会怎么样子轮胎的销售？Promote 提倡，它是接在 would 后面用原型。And 呢，它是一个对等连接词，表示要跟 promote 一样用原型动词。所以空格三呢，用原型动词之外，还要搭配轮胎量的销售。选项 L boost 提升增加就符合文意。所以这题答案选 L。第四题，他们列出很多时常造访的什么 ，ranging from。To 范围从哪里到哪里 ？Plenty of 是很多的，后面要加名词。那很多被造访的什么呢？范围从旅社到餐厅到加油站。选项 B spots 地点位置，而且是复数，刚好符合要求。答案选 B spots。第五题，这指南大受欢迎，这对兄弟呢就开始雇用秘密什么？来审查餐厅，由文艺当然是某种人来督查餐厅。空格五填放 I inspectors 检查员 ，hire 是雇用 ，secret inspectors 秘密检查员。好 ，inspect 当作动词，后面加个 or， 检查的人当然就是检查员。第六题 ，crucial 重要的，例如 a crucial moment 就是重要的时刻。Allied forces 是指二次大战的时候的同盟国，包含法国、英国、美国等。第六题是放在定冠词 a 之后，表示是一个单数的名词，而且在前面的句子还说啊，这指南不仅帮助了旅客，它还是同盟国重要的什么？对于同盟国的部队是一个重要的帮助，所以这题答案选 K。第七题，这些国家策划诺曼底登陆。Invasion 是入侵侵略，动词是 invade。但是怎么样一个大问题 ？Massive 巨大的，助动词 had 之后要放过去分词，形成过去完成式。后面句子说所有的路标都被移除，进攻的士兵人生地不熟，肯定会遭遇大困难。 选项 H, encountered, 遭遇。encounter, 遭遇尤其是指不期而遇。与 meet 同意，这题答案选 H。第八题，为了确保美国和英国士兵能够怎么样，官员就给了他们米其林指南。Could 是助动词，所以第八题我们要放一个原形动词。打仗那当然要让士兵能够前进进攻咯，所以选项 F, navigate, 导航或者确定方向。为了要让美军和英军能够确认方向，第八题答案选 F。 第九题，这怎么样的讯息帮助了入侵成功？空格9的地方在 information 讯息的前面，表示是要放一个形容词，而且这个怎么样子的讯息还能够使战役成功。选项 G, critical, 重要的，关键的，因为米其林指南提供详细的地图，这资讯当然是关键的资讯，所以答案选 G, critical。 第十题，这 content 是内容的意思，如果念成 content 变成形容词，那就是满足。 established 动词是创立，它呢加上 ment 变成 establishment, 就是据点或机构的意思。它的内容包含怎么样子四万个餐厅。 include 包含，后面直接加受词。前面第二段有提到有检察员来审查评分，所以每间餐厅都有自己的评等。选项 D, rating, 等级复数，包含不同的等级，所以第十题答案选 D。 以上是今天的讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Check out the Michelin Guide and find a really wonderful restaurant near you. And hey, tell all your friends about it. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.